This is ABK's recording for Maseches Sukkah, Daf Hey Amid Aleph. We left off at Dalet Amid Beis, about six lines from the bottom. I know we went over this in Shir already, but let's just do it again. So we are starting with the minimum Shir V'Sukkah being 10 Tvachim. So ask the Gemara right away, how did the Mishnah know that that is the minimum Shir? Minolim. Where do we know that Sukkah has to be at least 10 Tvachim? Itmar. So we learned in the following Gemara, Rav Rabbi Chanina V'Rabbi Yochanan. Right, so we had a possible statement that Rabbi Yochanan was part of, Rav Chaviva, Masnu B'Kulei Seder Moed, Zuga Chilufei Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ale Rabbi Yonasan. So he thought that there was a different tradition that actually whenever you quoted this group of Amoraim, it was not Rabbi Yochanan who was with them, rather it was Rabbi Yonasan who was with them. So what did he say? Aron Tishav Kaporis Tefach. The Aron Kodesh was 9 Tefachim and the Kaporis was 1 Tefach. Harekan Asara. That equals 10. The Kaporis was the 1 Tefach thick covering that was on top of the Aron Kodesh that had the Kruvim on it, etc. Uchsiv. And the Pusik said about the Aron Kodesh, V'nodati l'chasham v'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kaporis. I'm going to make myself known to you from there, and I'm going to speak to you from atop the kaporis. So now this is going to be a long-winded proof that it relates to Sukkah in some way. Let's take a look. V'tanya, we have the following brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer me'olam lo yorda shechina l'mata v'lo alu Moshe ve'eliyo l'marum. So really, the Shechina never actually descended fully to earth, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi, when they went up to Shemayim, they never really went up to Shemayim. All right, this obviously needs a lot more explanation. We're not going to get into what this really means, but the simplest understanding, just for our purposes, is that Hashem never really came down to earth, and humans never really went up to Shemayim. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, we know from Halil, HaShemayim, Shemayim LaShem, V'Ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Right? Hashem is in the Shemayim, and we are on earth, and never the twain shall meet. So now the Gemara says, "Velo yarda shechina l'mata." Is this really true? Hashem never came down fully. V'haksi v'yirid Hashem al Har Sinai. Right? So it says Hashem came down on Har Sinai. Gemara answers, "L'mala me'asara tvachim." He did come down, but it was above 10 tvachim. V'haksi v'amdu raglov bayomahu al Har Hazesim. So again, it seems to indicate that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will descend onto Har HaZeisim. Again, l'mala me'asara tvachim. He won't come fully down, it'll be above 10 tvachim. Again, this is obviously some kind of much deeper metaphysical statement, not related to Hashem being physical in any way, as well as not really coming down to earth, not down to earth. This has nothing to do with the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu conducts himself, but for our purposes, this is what we're saying. V'lo alu Moshe v'Elio l'mar. Now the Gemara asks on the flip side, did Moshe and Elio not really go up to Shemayim v'haksiv? Moshe Allah Elo Elokim. Moshe went up. Gemara answers, l'mata me'asara. He went up, but less than 10 tvachim. D'chsiv v'haksiv, sorry. But don't we learn in the pasuk, v'yal Elio b'sara ha-shemayim, Elio ascended to the heavens in that whole crazy chariot of fire. What's going on here? So Elio did go up to Shemayim. No, l'mata me'asara. He went up less than 10 tvachim. V'haksiv. But doesn't it say in, this is a different pasuk, in Eov, Me'aches Pnei Akise Parshaz Olav Anano, that Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed onto the Kise HaKavod, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread his clouds over Moshe to protect him in Shemayim. So V'am Rav Tanchum Elamit Shepirish Shakai Meziv Shechinaso V'anano Olav. Rav Tanchum explains that Kadosh Baruch Hu protected Moshe Rabbeinu with clouds to keep the Malachim away from him. So again, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim. So what are you talking about that he never went up to Shemayim? So the Gemara says, Lamata me'asara. Same answer, it was really below 10 tefachim. Mikol makom ma'achis pnei kisei k'siv. So it says he was holding onto the Kisei HaKavod. Telling me the Kisei HaKavod was l'mala me'asara? So it's not. Ishtarbuve ishtarbivle Kisei Adasara. Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Kisei HaKavod to go down within 10, right above 10 tvachim. V'nokat bei b'shalma. Right? So he says that v'nokat bei. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to grab onto it at that point. So again, we're not explaining this. We're just saying that this is getting back to what we were saying before. 10 tvachim is the lowest the Shechina ever went above 10 tefachim was the lowest the Shechina ever went, and humanity never went above 10 tefachim. Right? So, Bishlama, Aron, Tisha. So now the Gemara is saying, okay, what's going to be the source for all of this? The Aron Kodesh being nine tefachim, and the Kaparis being one tefach. So, and that he gives us our 10 tefachim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from above the Aron Kodesh, and we said that that counts as a separate Rishus, and therefore we have to, the minimum height of the Rishus is going to be 10 tefachim, and thus we want the Sukkah to be a minimum of 10 tefachim. So we say, Bishlama Aron Tisha, we know how the Aron is Tisha, Dechsev, Asu Aron HaTzeishitim, HaMasayim HaChetzi Arko, Ama VaChetzi Rachbo, VaAma VaChetzi Komaso. Right, so we know that the height was 1.5 amos, and that equals 9 tefachim. Ela kapores tefach minalim. Where do we get a source that the kapores was actually a tefach thick, that it added 1 tefach to the height of the aron? Detani Rabbi Chanina, kol hakelim she'asa Moshe nasna men Torah midas orkon midas rachman midas komasan. Every single thing that Moshe Rabbeinu made, we are told the length, the height, the width, and the height. Kapores, midas arko, midas rachba nasna. We know the length and the width of the kapores. We don't know. Midas komasa lo nasna. We don't know the height of the kapores. So tsei laman mipachos sheva kelim. Let us go out and learn from the smallest of the kelim that we know about. Shenemar va'asisa lo mizgeres tefach saviv. So the shulchan was a table, and if you ever seen pictures of the shulchan, so you know that the base of the shulchan was a table, and then it had these racks on top of it, but around the base of the table there was a frame called the mizgeres, and that was 1 tefach in height. So we see that that's the smallest measurement given. So malalon tefach afkan tefach. So if we don't have a height for a particular kli, we'll say it's the size of the smallest possible kli, which is a tefach. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, that's like a frame around the shulchan. Why not learn it from the shulchan itself? Enelef me kelim gufayu. Right, so why don't we learn it from the actual shulchan, the actual aron, the actual kelim, and say that it was much bigger? Gemara answers, tafasta meruba, lo tafasta, tafasta muat, tafasta. So this is a klal in general, that we always try to grab onto the smaller thing. We try not to grab onto the bigger thing. Right, I'll just give you a quick example. So whenever the Torah darshans something in the plural, says something in the plural, so we say, oh, that is it means two. Yeah, so it says in the plural, it must mean two, but it could mean 2 billion. Right, it's possible. So we say, no, if you say 2 billion, you might be right, you might be wrong. If you say two, you're definitely correct. It might be more than two. Yes, but we rather say something that we know is true versus something that may or may not be true. And that's the concept of tafasta merubalo tafasta, the mashal they usually give, which is less accurate, which is that if you try to grab everything, you sometimes end up dropping it all and you end up with nothing. That's the more literal explanation over here. Okay. Fine. V'nelef mit tzitz. So why not learn it out from the tzitz, the headband that the Kohen Gadol used to wear? The Tanya tzitz doma kimintas shel zahav rachav beis etzba'os. So it was only 2 etzba'os wide, which is half a tefach. Umukaf me'ozen la'ozen, and he would wear it from, and it would go around his forehead from ear to ear. Because of a love beis shitin yud hei milmala v'kodesh lamed milmata. So it would say kodesh la'ashem, but in the reverse order, it would say Kodesh Lib beneath it, and then Hashem above it. So Amar Rab Lezer Rab Yossi Ani Raisi Baromi. I once visited in Rome, and I saw the Kosov Alav Kodesh Hashem B'shita Achas. I saw that it was written on one line, not on two lines. So I have eyewitness account that it wasn't on two lines; it was on one. Okay, so that's not relevant to us. What's relevant to us is that it was 2 etzba'os. So why don't we assume the kaporis was 2 etzba'os. So dan in kli mi kli, vein dan in kli mi tachshit. The answer is because the kaporis was a kli, and this was a tachshit. This was a piece of jewelry or adornment that the Kohen Gadol wore, and it's not comparable. V'nelef mi zer. So why don't we learn from the zer? The zer was a crown that was on a couple of different kalim, and it was very small. Right, so how big was the zer? So Amar zer mashu. The zer could be in any size. The minimal amount, there was no minimum size for the crown that would go around the kalim. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if you're going to say that we don't use Akshar Kli as one of the as a point of comparison, so the Mizgeres Nami Akshar Klihu. The Mizgeres was also Akshar Kli. So the Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? Mizgarto lamato hoisa. The mizgeres was not just an adornment to a nice addition to the shulchan. That was the frame upon which the entire tabletop rested. It was beneath the tabletop, and therefore it was very essential and an important part of the shulchan, and thus it was not a hechsher kli at all. It wasn't just an adornment to the kli. It was an essential part, and we're given the measurement, and therefore we say that was the smallest measurement of the kalim. So he says, okay, that's good. Haisa, it was lamata haisa. That makes sense if you hold that it's true. El laman da amar mizgarto lamala haisa, but there was an opinion that said it was actually above the shulchan, and it was just there as an adornment. It wasn't there to support the actual shulchan. So ma'ik, I mean, what would you say at that point? Hai hechsher klihu, that's just a hechsher kli. Okay, so that's a good kasha. So then the Gemara says, Eladan and Davar Shenitna Bo Torah Mida, Midavar Shenitna Bo Torah Mida, Va'al Yochichu Tzitz, Vizer Shalom Nasna Ba'en Torah Mida Klal. We're going to compare two kalim, or two adornments of kalim, that the Torah actually gave us specific measurements for, versus two things like the zer and the tzitz, where the Torah itself doesn't speak out the exact measurements for it, and therefore we assume based on this that the kaporis was one tefach thick. So proof number one, just to summarize again, proof number one, which was all we did, was try to show why we know the sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu would descend to speak to Moshe from above the Kapores, which was 10 tefachim off the ground. So Kodesh Baruch Hu would never come below 10 tefachim. So we see that up to 10 tefachim is one reshus, and above 10 tefachim is another reshus, and that's why the sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim.